come at Bob Evans. And then Food on the Fly will be this Wednesday from 4:30 to 6. Come and get a wonderful meal for $10. Trustees meeting will also follow that Food on the Fly at 6:30. And then CEC will meet on Monday, July 25th at 7, and then the elders will also meet at 7 that evening. Cares and Prayers will meet on July 27th here at the church at 1 o'clock. And please make sure your children get those sign-up forms for Camp Bethany and Camp Tar Hollow. And we'd love to see a great turnout from the Moravian churches from here at Schönbrunn also. That's all I have for announcements. Would you please rise and extend the right wave of fellowship? And then let's please remain standing for our watchword for the week, which comes from Psalm 25, verse 4. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Please remain standing for our hymn, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty.
Please remain standing for the Liturgy of Discipleship. What shall we render to the Lord for all his bounty to us?
We will offer to the Lord the sacrifices of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
gracious God, for revealing yourself to us as one who created all things, who gave us dominion over all the earth, who called us into a covenant relationship with you, who has given us the privilege of being your ambassadors in our world, who loves us as your children through Jesus Christ our Lord.
We give you our heartfelt thanks.
Please be seated. Jesus Christ, our Savior, because you were willing to come to earth in the likeness of humanity, to take on the form of a servant, because you became obedient unto death, even death on a cross, because God has highly exalted you, and bestowed on you the name which is above every name, that at your name every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that you are Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
We humbly bow before you in praise and adoration.
Holy Spirit, for dwelling within us and calling us to God by the gospel, for preserving us in the true faith, for leading the church on earth in its mission, for pointing the way of discipleship to each of us.
We acknowledge your presence and power among us.
Jesus said, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there shall my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples."
We hear your call to discipleship. Master, teach us the way we should go.
Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear much fruit, and that your fruit shall abide."
Now the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit.
Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain.
We confess, Lord, that as your disciples, we have often dishonored the holy name we bear. We ask your forgiveness for the times when we have failed to labor for your kingdom, when we have not followed your admonition to seek first the kingdom of God, when we have hidden our light from the world, when we, as the salt of the earth, have lost our strength. Have mercy on us and restore unto us the joy of faithful discipleship. Amen.
The Lord, your Redeemer, has said, with everlasting love, I will have compassion on you. Therefore, serve the Lord with gladness, witness to his goodness and mercy, and preach Jesus Christ as Lord with yourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. Please stand. Please be seated.
Our New Testament scripture reading today is from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in the heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy name in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And then our New Testament reading today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to go down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." We come now to our time of prayer. We have some prayers for this week. Some prayers of joy are for Alan Coco and Rebecca Toyberg. They're being married this weekend in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Rebecca is Emily Lippert's sister, so we pray that they have a joyous occasion. We also rejoice with our July birthdays for Allison Knisley, Joyce Swaldo, Robert Hansen, and John Castor, as well as July anniversaries for Mitch and Sharon Belknap and Norm and Cheryl Kadri. We ask for prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope for the family of Kathy Willoughby after her unexpected passing this week. Kathy was a longtime employee of Union Hospital, Cleveland Clinic, and she also was a member of the board for T4C. We uplift prayers of healing for Donna Swaldo, Tammy Reynolds, Janet West, Lynn Charlie Reichman, Dot Traxel, Tim Reynolds, Tammy Bennett, Corey Beitzel, Dave Poole, Ryan Castor, those who have COVID-19 or are recovering from it, and all those working in wings and intensive care units that help COVID-19 patients. We continue to pray for the health, safety, and peace of our world. We pray for peace for the people of Ukraine and thousands of refugees and for our entire world. Let us go to the Lord in silent prayer. Thank you for all the blessings you bestow upon us that we so often take for granted, Lord. The warmth of the sun, the beauty of the flowers and trees, the gentle breeze that blows against our faces, and the freedom that we have as Americans. We come before you with open hearts and ask that you give strength and comfort to those who are mourning, healing for those who are sick and undergoing tests and treatments, peace to our world, and love to our neighbors. May we show by example that we are truly Christians and share your teachings with everyone we come in contact, all to your glory. Amen. We're going to turn our hearts and our minds to our offering this morning. We continue to thank you for those of you who are giving through scmchurch.org and for those who are here in person also. And there is a plate in the back of the sanctuary if you want to give while you are here. We want to continue to be good stewards of the gifts God gives us, both spiritual, financial, and physical. Let's please stand for our doxology. Let us pray together our prayer of dedication. Holy Spirit, may our hearts be united to serve your kingdom, praise your name, and share our gifts to uplift the kingdom of God. Amen. You may be seated. Would the children like to come up for the children's message? You can sit on the floor if you want to. How are you this morning? Good? So we just prayed a liturgy about discipleship. And I wanted to ask you, what do you think a disciple is? Like, what's the definition of a disciple?
Someone who worships God.
Someone who worships God. Okay. Anybody else? What do you think a disciple is? Maybe like someone who is learning about God. Remember, Jesus had the 12 disciples, so they were with learning from Jesus. So the best way to know about what the traits are, or how to be a good disciple by example, I'm going to ask you to tell me some likenesses or similarities and some differences in outward appearance. Just between us, like, how do we look different on the outside? I have glittery sandals on. I don't think, oh my goodness, you do have glittery sandals, Aubrey. I do, but some of the others don't, right? What else? Okay, great. Anything else? Okay, so how do you think there would be differences on the inside of a person, like in their heart?
The way they feel.
Okay, the way they feel. How about being truthful on the inside, like you always tell the truth, Brandon? Love? Uh-huh. How about obedience? when mom and dad ask you to do something, or forgiveness. Forgiveness is on the inside. So 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7 says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at your heart." So some people look very nice on the outside. Just, I'll take Pastor Denny as an example. He looks very nice on the outside. He's got a suit on.
Now watch.
But on the inside, sometimes people are mean and nasty. They're not nice on the inside, but they sure look nice on the outside. People can't see insides other people, but God can. He wants the insides to look better than the outsides. So I have a little experiment here we're going to try. 3 glasses of water. And I have eggs. Hope we're not cooking the eggs. Okay, so do you want to do my first egg? Drop it gently down in the water. What happened to it? Yeah, it went to the bottom. This egg is like a person who doesn't know God. They're in a low place, and they have nothing good inside of them. They need God's love to lift them up. Okay, Aubrey. Whoa, what happened to that egg? Well, almost floating. It's close. This egg is like someone who knows God, but isn't really trying to act the way God wants him to act. They're saved, but they're disobeying God's word. So they're kind of stuck in the middle. Rylan, put that one in for me. Whoa, that one's really up on top. This egg is like the person who knows God and is trying his best to act like Jesus. He doesn't say that he's perfect by any means, because none of us are perfect. But he's trying to do all the right things by having a good attitude and an obedient heart. When people have good things on the inside, like love and a good attitude, it will show up on the outside. Just like you can tell when someone's happy on the inside because they smile on the outside. So I want you to look this week for how you can see good things for people. You look at their outside, and you should be able to see good things to show that they are happy and that they love Jesus and they're following Jesus in their heart. Okay? I'm going to stand up for a prayer. Let's come out away from the glasses so we don't dump those. Want to hold hands? Dear God, bless these children and help them to be followers of your teaching each day so that they may be good disciples on the inside and the outside. Amen. Thank you. Let us stand for our next hymn, Christian Hearts in Love United.
Please be seated. I hope that I look just as nice inside as I do outside. Welcome in this era where a common greeting is, are you vaccinated? Yes, I am. Does that prevent you from getting COVID? No, it didn't. And I'm not the only person here to say that. It was a while ago, so it was right after Easter. I want to look at the gospel lesson this morning, but maybe in a little different light. I thought the children's message very well explained and gave us insights into what we know as the parable of the Good Samaritan. I want to focus on what led up to that. And I noticed I have a different translation than what was read. I have the New Revised Standard Translation. So I would read the first few verses up through verse 29. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Please bow with me in prayer. Loving God, as we reflect upon your word, we pray your blessing upon us and your presence with us. Open our hearts and minds that we may understand your truth, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The answer that the lawyer gave is the absolute correct answer according to Jewish law, and it is referred to as the Shema. The Shema is a Hebrew word that is the beginning of the fourth verse of the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy, and it translates hear, H-E-A-R, hear. Here is what the Shema says according to Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel. The Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead. And write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Now, that's not what the lawyer said, is it? But listen to what it does say. The Lord our God demands by position our love, our honor, our strength. Not by anything that God has done, simply by God's rank, for lack of a better term. We owe that to God. Why? God calls us into being. God blesses us in ways we don't even understand and comprehend. And God guides us. As you read through the Old Testament, you will find where the second part of the lawyer's answer is added. But what I want to focus on this morning is this. Jesus said, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." Now, the lawyer doesn't ask, well, how do I give God my mind, my heart, my strength, my soul? He says, who's my neighbor? Isn't that an interesting question? Who's my neighbor? And Jesus tells his story. Well, this is who your neighbor is. It isn't necessarily the one that lives next door to you or across the street. Your neighbor is anyone you meet that is in need. Why did the lawyer have to be told that? We can make some assumptions that the lawyer in his own mind was doing all the other things, was obeying those things that strictly are contained within the Shema, but had just a little bit of trouble with the addendum. And love your neighbor as yourself. So rather than asking the question, Lord, how may I better do that? He tries to justify his action and inaction by asking, well, who's my neighbor? I think he asked the question with an answer in mind. We do that a lot, don't we? Especially in our prayers. God, I want this, and I know what it is that I want. So the lawyer, I'm sure, is in his mind saying, well, he's going to tell me it's all the Jews that I know, all the Hebrews in my synagogue, in my community, in my congregation. I'm not going to go outside of that, because they're the ones that have made the same promise to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our strength. Our neighbor didn't do that. Or did they? You notice how I was used as an example of what's on the outside doesn't necessarily reflect what's on the inside. But we have a tendency to make those kinds of judgments, don't we? Well, this person's my neighbor, but that person's not. And frequently, those judgments are made on appearance. I will give you an example. Those of you who know me know I have a need for speed. Okay? And after we moved from Wisconsin to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, a friend from Wisconsin who loves stock car racing visited and unbeknownst to me bought tickets to the Pocono International Raceway for a stock car race. And so I took that Sunday as a vacation day and we went up to the stock car race. It was an ugly day. The race was delayed 2 hours because of rain. And most of the crowd didn't show up. And Bob and I were seated in our bench, and basically the rest of the place was empty, that section anyway. And about an hour before the race starts, this group comes in, all male, carrying a cooler, black leather jackets, tattoos, motorcycle boots. I'm back in the 80s here, and I had the mindset of suburbia, and I looked at Bob, and Bob looked at me, and he said, do you want to move? Because they were two rows in front of us. And I said, no, let's just sort of stay here. Well, as the race was starting, they opened the cooler, and they started laughing and turned around with us, started telling jokes and offering us something to drink, and totally blew my mindset. I hated God for that. I enjoyed my prejudice. But what it taught me is, don't judge people by the way they look. Because when we make that judgment on our neighbor, we're using ourselves as the yardstick. I didn't have any tattoos. I didn't own a leather jacket. I didn't have any jewelry with chains on it. I had cowboy boots, but I didn't have motorcycle boots. And so that was the pattern that I was using as I looked at these people and said, ooh, I got to stay away from them. Would I have tried to help them if something happened? I would hope so, but that's a hypothetical. The reality is I judged them incorrectly based on how they looked. The parable of the Good Samaritan isn't just on how they look. It was who they were. I think the first part of that passage is more appropriate to us than the second. We should never have to ask the question, who is my neighbor? We should already know the answer. Because Jesus gave us that answer. Love one another as I have loved you. Is that easy? No. And if you look at the body of the scripture, who was it that Jesus demonstrated that love to? It's the ones we would rule out. And that's the point he tries to make with the parable of the Good Samaritan. It's easy for us to be exclusive. It's easy for us to draw lines as to who we will accept, who we will not accept, who we will help, who we will not help. But Christ calls us to be inclusive and to help those that are on the margin, to help those that are struggling, to help those that don't look like us, don't sound like us, don't act like us, because they're still a child of God. And that makes them a member of our family. We don't know how that story ends today. It doesn't tell us that that lawyer learned his lesson and that Jesus' illustration did the trick. Just like the rich young ruler that comes and says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, you must sell everything you own and give it to the poor and come and follow me. We really don't know. The scripture says that he left sad. Okay? But that doesn't tell us what any future action was. I think there are reasons for that. Because they're open-ended questions that transcend millennia. And it is up to each one of us here and there to answer that question for ourselves. Can I, as Jesus understands it, love my neighbor? Can you do it on your own? Probably not. Can you do it with the presence and power and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? Yes, you can. Is it going to be easy? Absolutely not. Is it less threatening if I do it with people? You betcha. But that does not give you permission not to do it alone. So what I see today's message doing is calling us out of our comfort zones and asking us to be willing ministers of God's grace. we don't forgive sins. Shoot, we're not even supposed to decide what is and what isn't a sin. That's God's job, not mine. But we are called to love our neighbor as ourself. Christ said, love each other as I have loved you. He said that to his disciples, his students, who then became apostles, who had disciples of their own, and the message carried through, and it carries through today. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. If we did that, would there be any crime? Just saying. Please bow with me in prayer. Loving and eternal God, we thank you for the grace you bestow upon us every day. We thank you for the strength that you give us through the presence of your Holy Spirit. And we swallow hard when we hear your call to service and ministry. But we know, Lord, that the Spirit within us can direct us and strengthen us if we but allow it. Use us as we depart this space, and may we continue to sing your praise, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand for our closing hymn, Praise We All Our God Eternal. of God the Father, the salvation which Christ has brought into the world, the presence and power of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit be before you to lead you, behind you to guide you, beneath you to uphold you, above you to bless you, about you to protect you, within you to caress you. In the name of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, world without end. Amen.